reading this evening is from 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. 2 Samuel 2, 12 to 17. Abner, son of Ner, together with the men of Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, left Mahanaim and went to Gibeon. Joab, son of Zeruiah, and David's men went out and met them at the pool of Gibeon. One group sat down on one side of the pool, and one group on the other side. Then Abner said to Joab, "Let's have some of the young men get up and fight hand to hand in front of us." "All right, let them do it," Joab said. So they stood up and were counted off, 12 men for Benjamin and Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, and 12 for David. Then each man grabbed his opponent by the head and thrust his dagger into his opponent's side, and they fell down together. So that place in Gibeon was called Helkath Hazurim. The battle that day was very fierce, and Abner and the men of Israel were defeated by David's men. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we praise you and bless you and thank you that you are our God. And tonight, dear Lord, we come before you. We ask that you would feed us. You'd provide a revelation to us. That, dear Lord, you would, as we prayed this morning, give us this day our daily bread so we would be nourished, we would be encouraged. And, dear Lord, you would expand our vision and understanding so that we would see the kingdom and you within it and we would understand our part. Dear Lord, please come. Send your Holy Spirit now, that he would come and indwell with us. We know, dear Lord, without your Spirit, and your word brings death, but with your Spirit it brings life and greatness. And, dear Lord, we desire that, your people. We ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name. And God's people said, obviously things are going on tonight. The Lord is at work. I wonder if you remember this morning, and I'll say, here this morning, I love you. Remember about the fact that that is Christ's command, that we love one another if we are his disciples. I love you. This is our expression to each other. A bit difficult, perhaps more for us men, because we've only got one word for love. But of course, the Lord, he's talking about agape, the fact that because our Lord has been self-sacrificial to us, he desires us to be the same to each other. He is our example, but are we a good example for him? Let's turn to our reading. If you think about our reading and where it comes from in the Old Testament, what a waste. What a waste. We see from the Bible reading that in this world so much can be lost. This potential for life, the future generations and capability, that when people are in permanent conflict with each other and aren't willing to find a resolution, then so much can be wasted. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who can pull us away from these things. Because as with all things, where we can love one another and that can be part of our lives, if we're always in conflict with someone, that also becomes part of our lives. And that's what we expect. We come together. We're in conflict. We see that in the world today, don't we? Especially in the Middle East. At one time, and thank goodness this has changed largely between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland and Britain. You know, these things have need to change. And they can be changed if we're willing to take the effort to recognize there is a potential. Our Bible reading is at the time when the land of Israel was supposed to be united under one king who was David, yet a civil war was taking place. They kept on fighting with each other. And if you notice, really, it's the old who die, but rather the young. It's always the young, which means there's lost generations. What a waste of capability and potential. And if you look at the church, this is for us, isn't it? If you look at the church today, why isn't it full of young people? Don't we have the answers for them? Don't we have the wisdom for them? The word of God for them that should be in their lives, and the true power of Christ, which should enable their lives so they can live a life different from the world, so they don't have to be in conflict. They can be released from the seduction and evil of the world and be given lives which have meaning and purpose. You know, we know most of our young people go through terrible times today. But they don't need to if they have Christ in their lives. They know they can overcome. They have a hope for a future. They have a hope which can change their lives. Are we able to give them that from our own experience and life, our own testimony and purpose? And are we able to say to them, even though that they may be the most horrendous of people on times, can we say to them, I love you because the Lord has loved me, and I'm determined that this generation is not going to be like a lost generation like that was taking place at this time. Abner was Saul's right-hand man who fought David for years. Joab joined David, and sometimes Joab would lose control. And this meant that Joab was an enemy of Abner, and Abner believed that someone else should be on the throne. Over an intervening time, they've allowed themselves to be programmed to fight one another. For years, the house of David and Saul fought against each other, even though David didn't want it. And it became a habit. And as soon as they saw each other, they did what they always did, and that they would try to destroy each other. They have allowed themselves to become programmed, to be institutionalized into this violence. And it seemed only David was immune from it because he understood God and was allowed God's Spirit to enter his life. If the house of Saul saw the house of David, then conflict soon followed, and they were determined to kill one another. Yet Saul had been killed. Surely now there should be peace. Our Bible reading shows us that the men had gathered round a pool at Gibeon. They found this. They've discovered this. This isn't fantasy. They've discovered this pool. And a conquest, a contest of death was created for the young men. Not for Abner and Joab, but for those who were young. What a waste of young lives. All that potential was lost in a pointless contest when one evening. Other. They grabbed each other's head and they stabbed each other. They said, what was all that about? That brought no honor to anyone, or peace, or joy, or resolution, just death. Those leaders had been programmed over the years to hate one another, to kill each other on sight and draw blood so that only one of them would be the victor. Yet in reality, no one would win from this programming. And this programming spilt into the younger generation, and they were to pay the price. Do you make the younger generation pay the price for your existence? You see, Christ came away, came into this life so that we could put away such thinking and to realize the potential of the world. Rather than hating those who would destroy us, he told us to pray for them and love one another, to escape and break the programming of our minds through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to put aside all of the world's wisdom, which in the sight of God is foolishness, and gain the wisdom of God to escape the thoughts of this world. This is the battle that we're in, is for people's minds, and to show them there's light and purpose in their lives if they desire it in Christ. That their lives might be changed, their lives might be encouraged, their lives might be opened up so that Christ can use that potential. Christ came so we could have freedom to see the world as God sees it. If those men thousands of years ago just stopped and said, no, we're not going to fight anymore, we're going to join together, and forgave each other instead of letting that bloodlust come out of them, I wonder what the history of God's people would have been. the lives of both sides would have not been lost. And then they wouldn't have had this civil war which carried on, which at the end of our reading said there was a terrible bloodletting. Or perhaps we are not in such a contest. Our thoughts can be very similar. Do we want growth and development, or do we want destruction? Do we want the winning of souls, or do we prefer our own distractions? Do we want to concentrate upon our own programming, or do we look to the past and nurture the memories which has made our programming to allow us to colour our futures? It's said on many times, isn't it, that, well, it wasn't so bad. You had a fantastic growing up, didn't you, Terry? Whip and top and his old tyre, he's read that out to us. Many people have any nostalgic days, and we realise our children don't have that capability. Many of us are terrified to let the children even out of our back gardens because of the terrible things that we hear, because we live in a society that doesn't love each other, that doesn't care for each other. Years ago, I'm sure Terry and the rest of you experienced that if you got in trouble and your neighbour would tell your mother and father, then you would be in trouble with them. The neighbour wouldn't be in trouble, or if the policeman brought you home because you got into trouble. But today we've seemed to turn everything all back to front. That really, that we're all innocent, but really this isn't how the world works, and this isn't how God's wisdom works. Rather, we should have love for one another, which means that if we are disciples of Christ, we come under his discipline. We come under his discipline. I described to you this morning what happened to me, that I spent 4 days with my eyes closed. So God said, you will come under my discipline. For you're not acting, you're not being who and what you should be. And rather, I would prefer you to listen to me. And we're looking at tonight the fact that do we obey God? Or do we just partially obey him? Do we love one another? Have we achieved that simple command that Christ gave to us in the New Testament? Do we love one another? If those men had loved one another, would they have killed each other? Do we love one another? Do we really love one another? That simple command that Christ gave us. You may say, well, I have no love in my heart because it has been destroyed. Then allow Christ's love to be inside of you so he's able to love through you. As a church, as God's people, we must be free of our thoughts and allow Christ to take them over with his Spirit, so that we would think as he would think, act as he would act. This means the old battles of the past should be left where they should be, in the past. The struggles and actions and habits of the past should be put aside through his power. And that we would act with each other as though we are new lovers with each other. We should be embroiled in the past and what people have done to us in the past. We need to discover the freedom in Christ, the way he wishes us to think, develop and grow, and not be controlled by the world, but the freedom that God offers. If you have ill will for people, then put that aside. You know, we can judge people so easily, can't we? In America, it always seems to happen in America. Never seems to be reported in this country, I don't know why, but in America, there was once a great TV evangelist. He built an empire. He was successful. He was full of fame. Where perhaps it was once God, it was him. He had charisma. But he was seduced by the machine of this evangelism that he'd built up, that God had provided him with the resources to reach so many people. And because of the funds that poured in, he embezzled the money given. And he had affairs with the women that followed. those who are currently looking at Eli in our Bible study. Sounds a bit like Eli's sons, isn't it? You know? If you look back, just go rewind a little bit into Samuel, you'll read and understand this. In the end, justice caught up with him, and he spent many years in jail. And then he was visited by John Bevere. I don't know if you know him. He's a great teacher of God's word. And he asked him, this man in jail, because of course he must have fallen out of love with Christ, surely. For the man, ministry started out with purpose and honesty and was greatly blessed by God. How did he fall out of love with Christ and do the terrible things that he did? The man's response was a surprise. He said he'd never stopped loving Jesus. And what happened? He had lost the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. You know, you may be in love with Jesus. You may know him. You may come to Bible study. And the fact that if you only partially obey him, then your sin will be found out. And you will have to account for it. Remember what we said this morning? If you keep the whole law, but if you only let one of those things drop, then you're guilty of all of it. You're guilty of all of it. And if you cannot say to those who are disciples of Christ, I love you. If you cannot start, obeying doesn't get you anywhere. What's the promise that we are given? I'm trying to encourage you now to remember what I said this morning. What promise are we given if we obey Christ? We're given a gift. We're given the power of the Holy Spirit so that we might overcome, so that we are able to say, even those people that we do not like, those people we distrust, we can say, he still loves me. And you know, if you come to know him, if you come to accept him, the whole of heaven rejoices because of you. Because of you. Have you given that message to our young people, to those who are our enemies, to those people whom we hate? As a church and as a fellowship and as individuals, we need to have some fear of our God. For our Lord is powerful and mighty. His love is deep and he has compassion. He has control over this universe. You see, we're not in a game. We're not in a pleasurable pastime. We should never flout who and what we are before God. What happened to that evangelist? We should never stir up his anger against us. We should be obedient because he loves us. We should fear the losing of that love that manifests amongst us. Doesn't mean that his love ever gets any less for us. But we should fear the fact that he says in his word that he is slow. See, we're not in a game. It's not a pleasurable pastime. We should never flout who and what we are before him. We should never stir up his anger against us. We should be obedient and not partially so. For while God is merciful and gracious and understand our weaknesses, there comes a time that if we continue to disobey God, that God's anger burns against us. And this has dire consequences for us. And we should ensure that we follow the most excellent way that he offers us. He sacrificed everything for us. So why on earth should we not follow him? Christ told us to bless those who do us harm. I'm not saying any of this is easy. And allow God to take his vengeance. Do not get embroiled in a civil war. For God's judgments and vengeance has far, far greater effect than any action that we could bring into place. And we must fear when God does this. I've seen his vengeance many times, and I have respect, a fear of God, whose wisdom and judgment is right and powerful and has purpose. We need to walk in his word and proclaim the wisdom of God amongst us. Pray for those who do you harm and ask God for his forgiveness, for his arm is long and his anger swift and powerful, but his love forgives all if we seek him with an open heart and come before him and ask for his forgiveness for our lives and say, Lord, I will follow you. As Terry said from his poem, the fact that we do not lie when we sing. Lord, I lift your name on high and I love to sing your praises. Those leaders who met around the pool did terrible things, and it did not bring any honor or love or grace to the people whom they led. In fact, they led them into more death. Families lost, the next generation, all that potential and future was lost. You leaders of this place, you who have responsibility in this place, be careful. When you make decisions, ask for the wisdom of God. Take strength from each other and stand upon the rock, the one who died for you, and ask for mercy. And share the love that he has given you to others, including your enemies. Do not get involved in civil wars and do not have contests with one another. Do not envy, but rather fear God and allow God's love to be inside of you and see with the eyes of Jesus so you recognize the potential amongst each other. For you see, we are all precious gifts from God. Honor one another. Abner and Joab did not, and their ends were not sweet. The young who were eager to do the bidding of their leaders were led in the wrong way. Blessed one of God, if you have someone who you're nurturing and encouraging in discipleship, ensure that you're doing saying the right thing, that you're leading them forward, that you're praying protection around them, and you're leading to a place where they can feed and grow and then become full of the ministry of God and full of the power of God. If you want to keep yourself on track, then realize that you'll have to go to God one day and account for those people whom you lead. Be afraid of that. And that perhaps will keep you on the track. And then appreciate God's love as you stumble and see their stumble. But lift them up as God lifts you up. Abner and Joab could not forgive each other. They were programmed to destroy themselves and the nation, even though when it was not necessary. Escape your programming, your thoughts of the past. Don't make the same mistakes that those in the past have made, and rather embrace the wisdom and understanding of God and fight the battles for the winning of souls. Don't be stuck in a groundhog day. You know, I get so frustrated by the church that I'm in and others that sometimes I minister to, and we go through the same things again and again, the same arguments again and again. Generally it can be about carpets or chairs or the floors, when the whole of society is going to waste and our young people are being lost. Those in middle ages and those who are elderly are being lost because they're not receiving the blessings of God that comes through us, that we should tell them about and encourage them in their lives. Look to the future and grasp the future and bring it in to this place and your lives and be a blessing to others. Come to know Christ in a more powerful way. Be involved in the new battles for souls. Leave a legacy for God, who would say, look at what my people are doing. Look at what my people are doing. Look. They're amazing. be awesome. You can be incredible. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your people here this evening and ask that you would bless them and you would encourage them. That, dear Lord, you would place into their lives what is needed. That, dear Lord, they would open their hearts and allow you in. And that which would keep them where they are, you would just cast away. Because your love is great, because you came into this world to save them and rejoice in their lives and change them. Because you are great and mighty. And you say, I love you. I forgive you. You are free. You are free. If I can forgive you, then forgive yourself and be blessed and know that I am God. Dear Lord, those who lead this place, I ask, dear Lord, you would fill them with power and grace and might, dear Lord, and they would speak with the wisdom of you. And dear Lord, they would stand straight like pillars and be like beacons of light to all. Those who inhabit this fellowship, dear Lord, encourage and grow them. And let them be an awesome people. So people will be amazed. Because they love one another. And because they love one another, people would know they are your disciples. Let's spend a few moments of quiet with the Lord to allow him to minister to you before we share our communion together. We would praise you, God, for the things that you do. That you forgive. That you bless. And all you want us to do is to come back home. To be part of your family. And to be a blessing. Praise you. And thank you, dear God, as we come to your table.